Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Hope everybody got a good night's sleep with that extra hour this morning. So, we have with us today Peter Rishmawi, whose family is from Bethlehem, and he's here to represent the Bethlehem wood carvers. And they have a wonderful display over in the fellowship hall this morning, pieces that are for sale. So please come on over to the fellowship hall right after worship and look at all the beautiful work that they have done. All right. Turn it over to Peter.
Good morning. My name is Peter. I am from Bethlehem originally. When you walk in this early morning, see these beautiful articles, this multi-table that you see when you wake up, when you come in this early morning. These are made from the olive trees, handcrafted by hands. Right now is pretty tough. Israel went too far this time. They destroyed Gaza. There's nothing left in there. They end up bombing second oldest church in Gaza with people attending services. They end up destroying cemeteries and stuff. And that's the reason I'm here. So if you please go there to the fellowship hall, every piece that you purchase, you help a family in Bethlehem. Also, I am giving this gift for Pastor Tim, and also I'm donating this crucifixion to St. Paul Lutheran Church. Thank you for having me here, and God bless you all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Those are beautiful. Okay. Be sure to read through all the announcements. Because we have pages of them. There's a lot of things that are going on around here. Just a couple of things to highlight. One is today, right after worship, there will be an acolyte training class, and that is for those who are in third grade or older who have not had an acolyte training class and would like to acolyte. So just meet up here immediately after worship. And let's see. And the next Sunday, there's a few things that are going on. You get to eat well next week, because there will be a thank offering meal after worship, and then in the evening is the community Thanksgiving get together. So there is information in the bulletin about these things, so be sure to check them out. And again, there's lots of other information as well too. Terry, I think you were going to say something.
And this information is in the bulletin too, but just a brief reminder that we are meeting with the parents and youth ages 7 through 18 today in the chapel at 2 o'clock.
All right. Thank you. And anybody else? Anything? All right. Then I invite you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Rise, O Children of Salvation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His.
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit together your people in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys which you have prepared for those who love you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is from Revelation chapter 7, beginning with the second verse. I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher. 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh. 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon. 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 149 responsively. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adores the humble salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To execute on them the judgment written, "This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord." The second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate All Saints Sunday, and actually All Saints Day is always November 1st. And in the past that used to be a major church celebration. It would be on the same level basically as Christmas or Easter. People would flock to the church. And that's why we have Reformation on October 31st. That's when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the wall, Wittenberg Castle Chapel wall, for everybody to see. He knew the church would be full that next morning. And so All Saints Day was very important back in that day and time. Today it's still very important too, because we remember the saints who have gone before us. We remember those in our congregation who have passed away this past year. We remember them in prayer. So it's a celebration of all saints. But what exactly are we talking about when we say all saints? Who are the saints? How do you define saints? Some people think of saints as those people who do good, or who are just simply good persons, like she's such a saint. She thinks of so many different people. She knows exactly what they need, and she helps them out at all times. She is such a saintly person. She is a saint. Or we think of saints as those who were in biblical times, those who were around Jesus, such as his disciples, such as St. Peter, St. James, St. Matthew, St. John, But not only the disciples themselves, but also some of the other people who were around Jesus during that time, such as St. Mary or St. Elizabeth or St. Paul, St. Timothy, some of the other people who were there as well then too. Now, some church traditions, in some traditions, they have designated saints, people who they say have done heroically or have lived heroically virtuous lives, who have lived wonderful lives of helping people or doing things that really honor God. And they have criteria then for being a saint. A saint has to be someone who is already deceased. And then virtuous lives, and also have performed miracles. If they performed one miracle, then they are considered blessed. And if they have performed two miracles, have been attributed to them, then they will be considered a saint. It was interesting this last week I was gone. If you noticed, I was not here in worship service. Well, actually, it was the week before that I was gone to the North American Lutheran Church, Texas, Pastors Mission Retreat. And we met up in Belton or Killeen, some about between those two cities. And it was a nice setting in the cedar breaks and in the midst of the oak trees that were out there. It was somewhat quiet. You could always hear traffic in that area because it's I-35 corridor going fairly close to there. And on the other side, every once in a while, if it is a more quiet night, you can hear the guns of Fort Hood. But otherwise, it's a very peaceful setting. And it is a Catholic retreat center that we were at. Amy Little, who is the general secretary of the NALC, came and spoke to us about some different things that are going on in the NALC and also gave us some training and some insight into looking at renewing and rejuvenating congregations. So it was a good retreat. But what was interesting then, too, was, like I said, it was a nice setting. The food was good. The facilities were nice. But each of their buildings and then each of their separate rooms were named for the different saints of the church because it was a Catholic retreat center. And so I don't remember which room I was actually assigned to, but the building I was assigned to was called St. Gertrude. Now, I did not know who St. Gertrude was, so I did look it up to find out who she was. And it ends up she lived in the 600s. And it was, at that time, it was a part of France. Today, it is a part of Belgium, of where she is or was from. She is attributed to starting an abbey, a place where the nuns would gather, nuns would live and be trained. She was considered a wonderful person because of all the ministry she did for travelers and then also for widows and for orphans. And then, too, that was part of that then, too, was in the time of the Black Plague. So she is venerated or known for as the patron saint of travelers, of widows and orphans, and cats. Now, that seems kind of strange for us, but you have to think, if the Black Plague was going on at that time, a lot of the plague was spread, I think, by the fleas that were on the mice and the rats. And so she had a close relationship with cats. And so the cats kept away the mice and the rats, which helped then protect the people of the village and of the abbey. And so she has been venerated as a saint. So, again, that tradition has designated named saints with criteria to be called a saint. But then we look at the New Testament, and St. Paul starts many of his letters with, to the saints of Colossae, to the saints of Galatia, to the saints of Corinth. So what St. Paul is calling the saints are all the members of those congregations. And we come to believe then that saints are actually all those people who are members of the church, who are members of the body of Christ, all those people who have been baptized and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the saints. And so it always kind of puzzles me of why we have this text reading every time we have All Saints Sunday, this text from the Beatitudes, because in there it doesn't say anything at all about saints, who the saints are, what the saints are. It doesn't name saints. And so why is this in here? And I was looking at it and studying it, and I think it's because this is what a saint's life looks like. For those who truly do believe and are baptized, this is what their life looks like, is in these Beatitudes. And so I'm going to look at just a few of these here. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We have difficulties in this life. We have troubles in this life. Sometimes it just feels like life is overwhelming us, and we don't know how to dig ourselves out or what's going to happen, what we're going to do. We get anxious. We become poor in spirit and wonder, why poor, poor, pitiful me? Or we just wonder, how in the world are things going to turn around? I see no daylight. Hope is being lost. But we need to remember that there is always hope. That whatever happens to us here on this earth, whatever troubles come our way, whatever difficulties we have to face, the things of this world are fleeting. They will not last. They will be gone. We're reading about in Revelation, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. These things of this earth will pass away. And in the end, we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, when Luke writes his Beatitudes, or he follows that same sermon of Jesus, Luke says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He leaves off that whole part of blessed are the poor in spirit, the poor in spirit. And it brings a new connotation to it then too. He quotes Jesus as saying, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And we think about it. Blessed are the poor. And in this life, in this world, it seems like it should be the rich who are blessed, because they have all the blessings. Certainly God blessed them with all the riches that they have, the wealth, the power, the might. All that is a blessing. But here, in Luke's gospel, it says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, to be rich is not a sin, but it can be a distraction from what we are to focus upon. Or it becomes our own focus, is to hang on to our wealth. We're more worried, we're more anxious when we have wealth. Somebody either wants to take it, or somebody wants to spend it, or it gets lost. And so we are anxious about our wealth. The more we have, the more responsibility we have as well then too. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor." Again, having money is not a sin. Having wealth is not a sin. But it's a matter of stewardship. I have more responsibility. I have more opportunities maybe even then too, when you do have some wealth. And verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I think just about everybody here has lost someone who is close to you. Maybe a wife or husband, a mother, father. Maybe a grandparent who is very dear to you, or maybe even children or grandchildren. We have lost someone, and it tears up our hearts. We have mourned, and we do mourn. We weep, we cry, we pull out our hair. We don't know how life can go on when we mourn. But again, we remember that there is hope, that those who die in Christ will also live in Christ, that these things of this world are fleeting, You know, money gets used up, is lost, stolen, burned. Property gets lost, stolen, burned, or deteriorates, and people die. But that's not the end of us. Christ will raise us back up again. And the other thing with this then too, blessed are those who mourn, is God has given us a full range of emotions. To be able to mourn, to weep, to cry, to laugh, to have joy, to be joyful, to enjoy in happiness, to enjoy one another, to be angry, but then also to love one another. God created us in His image, and we have these emotions. I wonder if we would even know what true joy is if we did not mourn, if we did not cry, if we did not weep, if we did not have sorrow for losing someone else or what was happening in our lives. God has given us our emotions. And I think it says in Romans that we join in together with those who weep and mourn. I think it says that we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. And that's the nature of a saint, is to have compassion or to have empathy on our fellow persons. And then verse 6 down here said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. All right, Luke again just says hunger and thirst, but I want to hit this with, in Matthew's gospel, it says hunger and thirst for righteousness. So what exactly is righteousness is the question, and how would you define righteousness? Righteousness is what is right, that which is done right. Or another way to look at it, doing right by another person, so that other person is not cheated, that other person is not done wrong, but is done right by, to make sure that they everything has been done fair, that other person is raised up, to do right by. So we have a hunger and a thirst to make sure that our neighbor is taken care of, that we do not harm our neighbor, that we do not cheat our neighbor, we also stand up for our neighbor, we do right by that other person. And so here it says, those who hunger and thirst for that. So those who are looking to do that, to make sure that our neighbors are treated well and just, we will be satisfied. And I missed one other that I was going to talk about as well then too. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When we think about meekness, we think about somebody who is shy, who does nothing, or just stands back, or just takes it when something happens. But being meek does not mean that you are a doormat. You don't let people just wipe their feet all over you and do nothing. To be meek means actually not to be passive, but it means to be active. If you think maybe one of the examples that Jesus gives, he says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Well, that's not being passive. You are actually doing something. you have choices of what to do. You can do nothing, and whatever happens, happens. You can retaliate against that other person, or you can show them that their anger, their hurt towards you, is forgiven, and turn the other cheek. It's doing something. Or you look at Jesus himself at what he did. You know, Jesus, when he was arrested, he did not fight, but he was doing something. He went with him. At trial, he chose to be silent. Choosing to be silent is doing something. He did take the beatings. He did something. He also went then and carried his own cross to be crucified. And he died and was buried, and he rose again for our salvation. Throughout his whole ministry, he was doing for other people, either teaching them, preaching to them, caring for them, healing them, casting out demons. He was doing for other people. We talk of Christ as being the King of Kings. And in a couple of Sundays, we will celebrate Christ as King of Kings. And so we talk about Jesus as being ruler over all, but what kind of king was he? He was a servant king, willing to come down from heaven, to stoop down to this earth, and to serve us. And if you remember the story of the Last Supper, what does Jesus do in John's Gospel? But he goes down on his knees, and he washes their feet. Jesus was a servant. He was meek in that sense. He was the master, but at the same time, he was the servant. We are called to be servants as well. Servants to God, servants to our neighbor. In this world today, it always seems that we celebrate those who are strong, those who are in charge, those who are always climbing to be at the top of the ladder. That seems to be the ambition of so many people. I don't want somebody else telling me what to do. I want to be the one telling other people what to do. I want to make the rules. But here it says to be meek. Blessed are the meek. When we're meek, we are doing something. We are following in the footsteps of Christ. We are acting like a saint. And so what are the saints? The saints are those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and those who are baptized. And we live that life. We strive to live that life. Saints are sinners. Sinners who have been redeemed. Not by how good we have been, but by what Christ has done for us. By the way that Christ has been a servant to us by dying on the cross and rising again. And because of that, we are called saints. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Church, the world, and all people according to their need. Thank you, dear Father, for all the sinners whom you have redeemed and are pleased to call your saints. Thank you for their example of repentance, trust, and obedience, even when that was hard. Help us to remember them with gratitude and give us grace to follow in their footsteps. Lord, in your mercy. Make this congregation faithful with holiness. Let the light of Christ shine through us so other people glimpse his great love for them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for seminarians and for those whom we sense are being called into the holy ministry. Make them pure of heart and filled with peace. We plead on behalf of missionaries. Help them to feed all who hunger and thirst with your bread of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, establish your kingdom in our midst and your peace within our hearts, communities, and nations. Make our earthly leaders wise and good, generous and just. Make us all to be pure and humble of heart, hungering and thirsting for your righteousness while easing the hunger and thirst of our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Deliver from suffering all those whose need is great. Give them the hope, comfort, and faith they need to weather their trials. Restore them to health and fellowship with all whom they love. We lift before you in prayer Lynn McGurra, Nick Picard, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Bridget Innocenti, Bill Bargman, and for the family of Lovell Blaine. And Lord, we continue that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. With reverence and affection, we remember before you those who have shaped our faith and influenced our lives in godly ways. We entrust into your tender care the members of our church who have died this past year and are at now rest in you. Robbie Nell Bolt, Betsy Schultz, Verda Mae Forster, Shirley Gentry, Carl Meeks Sr., Catherine Brown, Mark Niemeyer, Johnny Bednors, Quentin Metting, Wayne Spark, Kathy Weishwill, John Dale Hurst, Mike Stern, and Kendall Sandage. Lord, in your mercy, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. By the witness of the saints, you show us the hope of our calling and strengthen us to run the race set before us, that we may delight in your mercy and rejoice with them in glory. And so with all the saints, with all the choirs of angels, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger, all who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, "Rise Up, O Saints of God."
God, his kingdom's task embrace.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
And do not forget to go over to the fellowship hall to see all the artwork from Bethlehem.